Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we're live here broadcasting from the East Seti Ranch, and we have a beautiful workshop going on here. It's a self-master workshop and galactic medicine wheel and all kinds of other things, and we've been doing a lot of prayer and a lot of healing work, and working a lot energetically with the Standing Rock and a lot of the problems going on there, which is I think this is a global event. It's going to be essentially, they have world healing gatherings going on around Standing Rock. We're getting stuff from all over the world, Germany, Russia, everywhere. And so even though there's a total news block on Standing Rock, this is all starting to come out anyway. And I think it's great that it's getting out. But what's being done there is, God, I can't even put words to it. It's just unbelievable. It's like the last stand of the dark arts, and they're losing, they're on their way out, they're doing all they can to hang on and keep us enslaved through dependency and the old program. So we've got, we're very lucky here to have Tashina Foster here, who's actually was on the front lines at Standing Rock, and she can give us an update on what's going on and the real story. And we've been trying to get information about Standing Rock, and with the news blackout and everything else going on there, and they've cut everybody off. People can't get out. You know, the Facebooks were all shut down there. The internets were shut down. Drones were shot out of the sky. Everything that was used to gather information has been shut down. So obviously they don't feel too good about what they're doing, because they sure don't want the public to know about it. And so on that note, I'm going to introduce Tashina Foster, and she's an Apache wisdom keeper. She's lived on the reservation, over the Hopi reservation. She's been doing amazing spiritual work, grid work, and creating galactic medicine wheels and things of that nature. And she was right on the front line. So I want Tashina to have a voice here on the BBS network and tell her story about what's happening at Standing Rock. So it's all yours.
Thank you, James. Osio, greetings, relatives. It's with great heart gratitude to be able to share with you today on behalf of my brothers and sisters that are still there at Standing Rock. At the time that I was there, we had a beautiful camp that is on the Army Corps of Engineer land along the Cannonball River. We have six camps within Standing Rock. The tribe, Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, does not own that land, so the Army Corps of Engineers has given us permit to be able to be there. As a result, we have no allegiance to any nation or any organization or group, and this lease will expire, and I could be a little off on the date, forgive me if I am, but approximately April 1st. And during that period of time, all nations, we have our 500 tribes that have gathered there. And we also have international groups that have come, the Sami from Norway, the Russian, the Hawaiians, Mexicans, the Aztecas. We have from every corner of the globe that has assembled. The groups of people there are from every walks and avenues of life. We have people that have doctorates. We have nurses. We have attorneys. We have medicine people. And we have women. We have children, babies, elders. And the beauty of all of this is the high spiritual interaction between everyone there. It actually represents a model of how global civilizations can be on this planet when people come together in one heart, one mind, one spirit, and they're able to accomplish a common goal. And it's true that what has drawn people water. However, it goes beyond that, and that is that people see a vision of unity, and because of that, they are looking at what it takes to sustain life on this planet, and that it requires all of us working together with the one heart, one mind, one spirit. So the water that is coming down the Missouri, if this pipeline is not stopped up there along the Cannonball up in North Dakota, is going to be contaminated down into the states of Illinois, Iowa, etc. They have a deadline by which to complete this pipeline, pumping roughly 500 million gallons of oil. These pipelines are not secure, and if you do your research, you'll find they have broken in numerous places, and they will continue to break. And as we have been watching them with our front lines and our people there on the ground, I mentioned the very educated people we have. We've even got physicists there. We've got scientists there. You wouldn't recognize them because we're all such low-key. We're in jeans and T-shirts, but we've got some quite outstanding people at Standing Rock. And we've been able to observe the construction of this pipeline. We've seen where, when they're assembling it, they're not very careful in the assembly process. The fittings, and pardon me for not having exact terminology, those of you that know how pipelines are constructed, but the fittings where they fit together are not secure. There is a protocol in place by federal law, et cetera, how they are to repair them and make sure they're secure. They're not following this protocol. There's no one to observe them except us. And thus, they fear us because we've been live streaming and we've been photographing. And most sadly, there's a media blackout. Not only that, but they're using sonar technology and they're using infrared. They're using facial recognition. They're using drones. And they're interfering with our ability to get cell phone signals out. We do have one hill up on the far side near 1806, which leads into Highway 6 and then into Bismarck, where you can get a bit of a cell signal. And so because of that, it's very difficult for us to communicate with the outside world. And when you lose a signal, then you come up against the whole problem of recharging that particular iPhone or whatever it may be, computer that can communicate with the outside world. So those that are able to go up, and we call it Facebook Hill, and post on Facebook that, forgive me, that is the only way that we've been able to communicate with the outside world, except for Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, Unicorn Riot, and we've had MSNBC, and most recently last night, NBC News. Bismarck newspaper has had some reporters on the ground. Reporters are being arrested. Anybody from a news agency that comes in to document a report ends up having their equipment sometimes confiscated, being held up by Morton County Police, put in jail, and not treated in the best way, court dates, and they then get bailed out, roughly $250 bail money. And then they have to come back from whatever state they are. So if they're arrested, they're bailed out $250, and they're from Maryland, they can go home to Maryland. But then, for example, one of our camp residents is from Maryland and has to return in January for court dates. So there's still all these court dates coming up. Obviously, they'll be thrown out. But meanwhile, what this does is this hinders the work that these water protectors are doing in the camp. Now, what the North Dakota Access Pipeline is doing is trying to finish all of this by their deadline, which is roughly December 1st. Department of Justice had thrown out some of the appeals, and there had been an appeal made to the North Dakota Access Pipeline to quote-unquote voluntarily cease and desist construction of the line. Well, obviously, logic dictates no one is going to cease and desist a profit of billions of dollars. The problem politically in the state of North Dakota is that the governor, Governor Detmeyer of North Dakota, owns stock in the pipeline. And so he has called up the National Guard. He has called up on several states to send their police forces. And then we have Mr. Kirchmeyer, who is Morton County Police. And they have all of these resources available to them. So what they have done is they have made sure to prevent the protectors from their right to peaceful protest per the Constitution of the United States of America. We have had representatives from Standing Rock Sioux Tribe that have gone to the United Nations and put in an appeal. We've also had Amnesty International on ground, not once but twice now, looking at the violations of human rights. And thus, it has become quite the global picture. And we feel that this is very important that we stop at this point, because if we cannot, and this pipeline begins pumping out this 500 million gallons of oil and contaminates water in the Missouri River and downstream, that makes clean water accessible to ranchers. Many ranchers are protesting right now in Iowa, and to farmers and to residents eventually in inner city areas. There will be no stopping this situation. So this is sort of the point of no return that we are at now. And we consider ourselves not protesters. We are protecting the earth. We are protecting the drinking water. And one of the largest owners of water, bottled water, is Nestle Water Company. Well, guess what? They have stock in North Dakota Access Pipeline. So they have a vested interest in stopping the public from getting clean drinking water, and then they're able to turn around and sell it to you. And that, of course, is not in best practice or in the best interest of the public. And right now, we set up a front row camp that some of the protectors that got taken down. If you've been able to access Unicorn Riot, Amy Goodman did somewhat of a report on Democracy Now! And this front row camp was on 1807 outside of our main Standing Rock camp to prevent the remainder of that pipeline being laid. It is completed approximately 90% of the pipeline. They're working frantically. And right now that front line camp is what they took down yesterday, I believe. And I'm not sure the exact time, because I started receiving texts from some of the people about 12 o'clock noon yesterday. And when they came in, they'd come in with dogs prior to that, with trained mercenaries that are used in the Middle East, that had handlers that were not trained to handle the dogs, and in some cases not licensed, that bit and attacked quite a few of the protectors, including a young child and a pregnant woman. And then they came back in the second time, because now it's down to the wire for them, and it's no mercy. So they came in with large canisters of pepper spray. They shot all of the drones out, snipers on the hillside, baton sticks, etc. And they came in with a very militarized force. Now, I might add that they arrested, and I might have my numbers off here. You can correct me if you know more correct down numbers. Approximately 121, 127 protesters. At this point, that frontline camp has been more or less decimated, and one of the press that we have there, Myra Dewey, on behalf of Standing Rock Camp, not Standing Rock Camp Tribe, Standing Rock Camp, on that Corps of Engineer land, he was told that he could take his TV down as long as he, quote-unquote, did not live stream. He was told that by the police. And that is the media blackout. In other words, do not report to the outside world what we are doing to you. Now, I read some of the news reports that mentioned that there were no known injuries, quote-unquote. The reports I got from the front line that were sneaked out by friends of mine via text and sent to me were that there were lacerations, beatings, broken bones, burnt eyes, and numerous very, very harsh injuries. This is yesterday. And then the end today, my understanding is that Russia has had a concert in support of Standing Rock. Many other countries are stepping forward. Reverend Jesse Jackson was there this past weekend in support of Standing Rock. We've had a lot of the churches joining in. And NBC News, because of this event yesterday and that it turned violent, did give a brief report. Another thing that was done, I'll share briefly and then turn this over to my dear brother James, is they came in with not only the sniper guns, but rubber bullets. So they shot the horses, which are right there on the edge of the camp. And we have men, women, children not far from their elders. And we also have a medic tent there where we treat our sick. And the horses are only a few feet away from that. So another thing they did was shut down our drones, because we had drones to counterman their drones so we could document things. They shut those down. Now, that was not shut down with a rubber bullet. That was shut down with a sniper gun. And they did have actual armed sniper artillery. So that's the stage that we're at. For Standing Rock, and I'll end on a lighter note and hand this to my brother, we had all had visions of Standing Rock prior to coming there, and we see this as a model for the future as to how people can work together in harmony from all backgrounds, from all walks of life, from all races, from all religions, and achieve beautiful goals. And on that note, I do thank you, and here's my brother James.
Oh, thank you so much for your courage and standing tall on the front lines with all your other brothers and sisters there. This is a total classic example of the 1% and the pure unbridled greed that's happening, and totally absence of law, and it just goes on and on. And from my understanding, the governor owns stock in the pipeline. I believe the sheriff too owns stock in the pipeline. And you know, legally, if you own stock in the pipeline, you can't get involved in that. You know, it's like a judge or something like that. You can't be involved in that. You know, that's collusion. There's a couple other things. I'm not sure the exact legal terms, but you know, that's something that, you know, not only gets you out of office very quickly, it actually lands you in jail. You know, so, which is, they should be the ones in jail, actually. And it's a typical thing that we have everything in this backward society right now. The very people that are enforcing the law, it seems like, should be the ones behind bars, and the ones, the civilians, you know, that are just doing their thing are the ones that should be enforcing the law. And I think that's what's happening now, because the civilians are having to enforce the law, and they're going to have to stand up because the other agencies have been totally compromised, and to an extreme degree. It's just unbelievable what's going on. But and when you look at the energy dynamics, if you look at the collusion going on here, and, you know, desecrating sacred land, you know, putting a pipeline right through burial grounds, ignoring all the treaties and the agreements, and just the extreme hostility they're dealing with the people that are, you know, the whole world opinion is, we don't want it, we don't need it. And again, we have this 1% of a criminal enterprise that's running the show that's actually being exposed for exactly what they are. You know, when I look at this thing from another level, this Standing Rock episode is actually the exact, I just think it's like the nails that are going to put in the coffin of the Illuminati or the cabal or whatever else. It's bringing to attention just who they are, just how ruthless they are, how I mean, I can't even think of words to say. I'm trying to keep it clean here, you know. But you know, these guys are inhuman. You know, they're not. You look in their eyes, and they have black. You know, their eyes are black. There's nobody home, and it's pretty sad to see, you know, what's happening there. So. It's a major, you know, people are standing up for it. They're standing up for the planet. They're doing incredible spiritual warfare there and holding their own. And they're being met with violent opposition and illegal actions. And it's just, you know, this is something that really needs to get out to the entire planet and just see exactly who these guys are and what lengths they'll go to completely enslave the planet, which they've been doing for so long. So they're enslaving us through dependency. They're forcing the oil down our throats and making us continue to use this oil. And the bottom line is that we haven't needed oil since like the 30s and 40s. We had the technology to get away from oil. And there is new technology out right now. The Keshe Foundation and other people are building these, you know, over-unity devices, free energy devices, plasma generators, things of that nature. There's other scientists that have the generators that we need to run our homes and be totally sovereign. All that technology exists right now. We don't need, you know, these gas belching engines. We can actually, you know, convert to electric engines. We can actually convert the engines we have now to run on water. That technology is here right now. It's been highly suppressed. And there's water technologies where you can run your car completely on water, but once you go past the 50% mark, you start getting heat. If you go up to 80%, you're going to get some real heat. If you run a car 100% on water and you let people know about it, you'll have a knock on your door, you know, and say you're going against, you know, national security or things like that. So they'll confiscate your technology. If you patent it, they'll take it, you know, in the interest of national security. And this whole mess is just unbelievable, what the way this is going down. But the bottom line is these technologies are going to come out no matter what. And oil is going to be a thing of the past. And these companies, you know, even the Rockefellers dumped most of their oil, you know, their oil stocks and their investments in oil. They see the writing on the wall and they know they're going to be, you know, out of business here pretty soon. So I don't know who they turned it over to, but the beings they turned it over to are basically, you know, the dregs of society, you know, to continue with this oil program. The, you know, I can go more into that, but what I want to do, I think we've covered most of that. And is there anything else we haven't covered? Because I want to go on to some of the ceremony here and the things we've been doing here. But if there's anything else you want to talk about the Standing Rock and how we can help the people there and you know, support the people at Standing Rock, I'll turn that over to you again.
Thank you, James, very much. I just wanted to add a couple of comments to what my brother James said about the new technologies. That I find it amazing that this group of, now down to a core group of less than 8,000, but had swelled up to around 8,000, 48,000 people, that we in our little ragtag way have managed to implement solar power technology in our camps. We have a solar grease-powered truck that we use to get electricity. That's where I was charging my cell phone at. We also have solar panels at our medic tents and our other facilities. We also have solar lights. And the one residence that I had, I never used electricity, just completely solar power. So then I would pose a question to the powers that be, if we can do it, why can't they do it? And I'll leave that hanging for them to answer, because obviously the answer is yes, we can do it. So we don't have a lot of money, we don't have a lot of equipment, but we managed to use solar, and it served us quite well. Very briefly, I also wanted to mention the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1851 and why Standing Rock feels they have a right to this land is because by the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1851, that land was originally ceded to the Standing Rock Sioux by the United States government. That treaty under international law, and this is where it goes to the UN, is still valid, which is the reason that the protectors have felt they have a right to be there, because it is their land. And the ceremonial sites that were there were markers, very ancient markers, much like Stonehenge or pyramids or anything else. And by plowing through those areas and removing those sacred sites and markers, they could then say, well, there's no evidence here that this was ever your land. But fortunately, there are anthropologists that are indigenous anthropologists that know how to recognize these particular effigies and markings and stones. So we do have indigenous anthropologists we've called in. So where we're at right now, this is very much an international issue. This is up before the UN. This is going to do nothing but get bigger. And it does represent, as we say, a vision of a model for humanity coming together and unified, one heart, one mind, one spirit. If we can do it at Standing Rock with all the odds against us, then with everything and resources the outside world has, we can do it in the outside world, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tichina. Yeah, it's, you know, I watched some of the footage of what was going on there, and I saw the, you know, the warriors standing tall, you know, and you know, not becoming aggressive, not fighting back, and it was amazing. They had big signs, you know, we're not armed, we're peaceful people, and made it very clear that, you know, that they didn't have arms, and to be met with arms, and met with sticks, and met with rubber bullets and beanbag guns, and from my understanding, they were throwing either tear gas or percussion grenades or things like that, from what I heard, and you know, beating them with batons and bringing in fire extinguishers filled with you know, pepper spray and things like that. Just, you can see the cameras when they're filming it being sprayed. The spray was going all over the cameras and everything. So, you know, there's elders and there's older people and kids and things sitting there, and they're just spraying them right in the face with these pepper sprays and things. And it was just, it was the most inhuman thing I think I've ever seen. And there's times I just couldn't watch it. You know, I'd be watching and I said, you know, I just need to go do some prayer work and just send all the help I can get there. I can't keep watching this. I just need to go do some work, some inner work. And, I know this venue right here, getting this message out, this is going to go international, the radio show, and get it out as to what's really going on there. And we'll probably attach some clips and things to it that people can see from the Facebook sites and to actually see what's going on there. But, you know, it's pretty insane. Also too, I wanted to talk about the elk and the buffalo. Is that, okay. If you want to, we also do have, is there a live stream for Standing Rock? You said, did you know where the live stream is?
It's still showing. They're actually being off, you know, like one of City Bull's relatives is talking, not necessarily at Standing Rock, but giving updates still live.
Right.
Okay.
There's live stream.
Yeah, so there's live stream, and on Facebook, I guess it's, do you know what it is? Which is the best way that people?
More. Okay.
How can people find out what's going on?
Democracy Now, Amy Goodman, Unicorn Riot, Elena Eagleshield, Morgan Dewey, which is a press, is live streaming. These are some of the people that are there on site that are actually live streaming. Yeah, Winnie Locke has also been our major reporter that we have depended on to be able to get word out. I wanted to mention also, my brother James mentioned the fact that the water protectors are unarmed. We are totally unarmed. We have quite a good structure at the camp in terms of how we monitor our own people. We do have a representative of Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Mr. Arshamel has been a representative there that comes in community council every single day, 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. And a representative of each of the six camps goes there. And he also comes out and polices the area, goes into the camps. So we have monitors, we have medicine people in there. So we are very well monitored. It's not just a loose camp. There's a very good structure and organization. And the framework, the foundation of Standing Rock is a spirituality. 24/7, you can come in there, and there's strong, powerful ceremonies going. When we do go out and you see us carrying signs, meaning Shoni, water sacred, and you see us marching, we aren't randomly going out. We've prepared in ceremony. We've prepared in prayer. We have come together as a group, and we have been trained and taught how we are to conduct ourselves in prayer and in peace. And if we have someone that cannot go forward in prayer and in peace, they don't go with us. So this is not a random group of people. And we do require that anybody that is going to do peaceful walks, that they are trained in the procedures of peace and spirituality. And that is a very strict requirement, and our medicine people hold us highly accountable you'll hear constantly amongst our people, accountability, accountability, accountability. Validate, validate, validate. Integrity, integrity, integrity. And you'll also hear prayer. So when we go out, you'll hear us singing, you'll see us dancing, you'll hear us praying, and we go with a joyful spirit. We tell them when we see people coming at us, we tell them very strongly, I pray for you, I love you. We do not tell them we hate them, we do not tell them, but we do tell them that they are wrong. We are required, that's another thing at Standing Rock. If you are looking for someone that will tell you an untruth, do not go to Standing Rock. As unpleasant as it may be to hear the truth, we will speak the truth. And you'll often see our people and you'll wonder, how can they stay so straight in the face of such aggression, which to the outside world would bring you to your knees? And that is because of the spiritual preparation. So we have been taught that we are to stay in this place of prayer, and it requires much concentration. It is very, 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 very hard to do in the face of violence and aggression. So what we do oftentimes is we fall on our knees, and you will see this often when you look at the photographs, and you will see us praying in peace and in love and in spirituality, and that is our message to the world.
Awesome. Great.
And also, too, we'll have most of this information up on the BBS network, and we'll have it on the eCity website, too, including supplies needed and how to assist. I'm not sure how we're going to get those supplies in, but that information will be posted as well, you know, on the other websites. And we'll give you the link up so you can actually watch what's going on there. And also, they'll update you on how to get the supplies in that they need. And, you know, this is brutal. I mean, they what, 50 below winter? They have something like that. They've got wind and rain and 50 below, and they're talking ice, and it's like, it's going to be pretty brutal, but they just got to hang in there, you know, for a little bit longer, and I think they can put an end to this. And, but anyway, just the overall collusion and the inhumanity that's being expressed there and the illegal operation that they're operating from, that they're doing, I think, is the longer they hold out, the more it's going to go global, the more people are going to dig into it and see who's who and who's responsible for what. And I think this is going to end up being a firestorm, you know, that's going to put an end to the cabal and the, you know, the banksters and the oil cartels and the mess that we're in right now. We don't need it, folks. We don't need the oil. We haven't needed the oil for quite some time, and this may just be the pivotal point where we might start looking at other alternatives. You know, we have solar, you know, we've got wind, we've got all kinds of other basic technologies. You can run your engine on water. But we have also anti-gravity and counter-gravity. We've had that for some time. So these vehicles that you're driving, guess what? You know, it's not only do they not need fuel, they don't need tires, you know? So we have that technology now, and it's time to bring that out and start cleaning up the planet. I think I wanted to share something with you really quick, and it's Wallace Black Elk shared this with me, the prophecies. And I asked him, is it all right if I repeat these and share these prophecies and just to give people some hope? But what he told me was, he said, there's a beast, and the beast is 2,000 miles wide, and the beast is all consuming. It wants to control and dominate everything. And they said, right in the last days, when you think there's no more hope, the beast actually consumes itself. And that's where we're at right now. The beast is consuming itself. And they said, when the beast consumes itself, after that, you know, there's 1,000 years of peace, and the star nations return, and the earth is healed very rapidly. And so just to give people a positive look at this thing, you know, we're right in the middle of a major spiritual war. We're right in the middle of actually physical feet on the ground war to stop the destruction of the planet. And we've got help beyond our imagination that's coming in to assist in this shift and this, in the, you know, the frequency shift of the earth, the awakened healing process. And so, you know, the beast is going to consume itself. It's a no-win situation. And the energies of tyranny are going to be no more. So all the star nations, everybody had been telling me, they said there is going to be an end to tyranny. They're putting an end to it, and it's a multi-level process, multi-dimensional process. A lot of the higher dimensions are cleaned up that have been interfering. The reptilians and grays and serpent beings and demonic-type energies are being cleaned out right now. And the puppet masters are being taken out, and now the puppets are floundering, you know, because they don't have their hookups anymore. And so we're in that process right now. It's coming right down to the earth right now to get cleaned up, and we're in the middle of that process. So on that note, I wanted to turn this over to Allison. Is it Bowen or Bowman?
Bowen.
Bowen. And she's been here doing ceremony along with Tashina. And kind of give her take on what her experience has been here and some of the ceremonies that we've been doing here.
Thanks, James. It's really frustrating for a lot of us, you know, listening here and being at ESETI. We hear the stories and we're seeing a live feed here. And it's frightening. You know, this is happening in North America. This isn't happening overseas. It's happening in our own backyard. And it's happening to our First Nations people again. This is happened historically, and it upset us. When we look back, it upset us then. This is happening now. This is happening today. And so we feel frustrated. We, you know, we can't all rush to stand off and fix the problem. We can't all leave our jobs and go stand on the front line and stand with these brave warriors. So what can we do to help? We can come together. We can form circles. We can come together in peace. We can focus our energy and our intent. And we can send it there to help these warriors. We can stand together, united as humanity, and hold that space of peace and love. And that's where our power is. We don't have to be there physically. So that's the strength. That's what we can do. We don't have to get caught up in the fear. We can support these warriors by being spiritual warriors ourselves. And ceremony is very strong, and we're all coming from ESETI. This is a very powerful place. And yesterday, during this weekend, we all came together in circle during the self-mastery weekend, and we were able to focus our energy and send it to Standing Rock. And it felt good. It felt like we were helping, like we're contributing. And so that's what I'd encourage everyone out there in the international community who's really uncomfortable with seeing these images, don't focus on the fear, go to the peace. Pull in the love, focus your intent, form a circle in your community, work together, and send prayers and love and healing from your heart center to help. That's the best that we can do. Thanks, James.
All right, thank you. It was a pretty powerful ceremony. I pretty much practiced loving detachment most of my life, and I've been able to hold that space, that really high space, but I mean, I actually lost it during that ceremony because the energy was so strong. It was coming in, and I could feel everything that was being expressed and released and everything. It was very intense. And then I saw the whole circle light up, and it looked like the sun, like you're looking at almost like a sun in the morning with the orange, bright orange energy, or like a NASA photo of the sun. And there was so much energy generated in that circle, and I just saw it loop right over to Standing Rock, and I could feel the warriors there getting this extra lift of energy. And it seems like, and I'm not exactly sure, but it seems like right about that same time, this huge herd of buffalo came running in and crossed, you know, right across, and everybody saw the buffalo, and they started screaming and hollering, and you know, it was another major sign that happened. And here at ESETI, right before the ceremony, I looked out my window and I had a big eagle flying right at the window, right towards the window. And I looked out and I go, holy smokes, you know? And so I came over here to do the ceremony. And then I heard that we have a huge herd of elk. And I heard reports of up to 200 elk have showed up in our backyard here. So the animals are gathering in support of the work that's going on, you know, our two-legged and feathered friends and four-leggeds, and all of them are cruising around. I'm sure the trees are talking too, you know, if we could hear them, but the one-leggeds, but there's so much support energetically, and Tashina and I were talking about that. We think that one of these days the animal is just going to come down and go, enough's enough, you know. And, you know, my prayer is that this herd of buffaloes comes down and just comes cruising right through the camp, you know, at the other side. And I don't know if you've been in front of a herd of buffaloes, but it's the very last place you want to be. You know, it's not fun, you know. So, I mean, I've worked with buffaloes before, and I've worked with cattle, but and we have yaks here. We have a 900-pound bull here, and, you know, I know what they can do, you know, so from firsthand experience. So it's you know, it'd be interesting to see how this is all going to form out. And I can see those guys with their rubber bullets and their little spray cans and things like that when a whole herd of buffalo is coming at them. I think their protection is going to be highly overrated, you know. But anyway, you know, hopefully, you know, this can be done peacefully and everything else. But, you know, I'm all for the buffalo coming down and taking care of business myself. I wouldn't lose any sleep over that one. But, you know, there's just so much going on. And it is important to do ceremony. And also, it's very important if you can find out an avenue. I know they cut off a lot of the ways to get supplies there and things. But if you keep updated on the other side, so probably tell you how you can get supplies to them. And at the same time, too, we also need to, whenever, like this show right here, you can grab it off the archives, send it out, send it everywhere. We're going to put it up on our site as well, on our newsletter. And this show is going to go international. It's going to go all, it already is going all around the world. And, you know, shows like this need to get out. Anytime you get a Facebook video about what's happening, Standing Rock, send it out to all your friends. And let's just make this thing viral. I mean, it's already happening, and we can be part of the process. And so, you know, the people that should be standing up and stopping this are totally in cahoots with, you know, the people that are doing it. So, you know, all the way up to the top, you know. So you know, we need to hold them accountable. And I really think, and this is a whole different show we're going to be doing here soon, but we are ready for a total. It's going to go one way or the other. We're going to have a full-blown revolution here in the United States, or we're going to have a soft coup where the generals are going to step forward and say enough's enough, because it's gotten so out of hand and it's gotten so degenerate that, you know, our leadership, that something has to happen, and there are things in place for that event. Eisenhower actually set that into place. So he put an elite group together and as watchdogs. And there's some very major top generals in this. There's generals behind the generals. You don't even know who these generals are that are going to step forward. And they're already stepping forward and saying enough's enough. We're going to push this global reset through. We're going to totally change. We're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. We're going to get rid of the USA Inc. and bring back the Republic. And that's all in the books and happening right now. And so we'll have a new Treasury note backed by gold and a lot of things happening. So we're in the process of that happening. And when that happens, a lot of these corporations aren't going to be doing too well when the Republic comes back in and the corruption is going to come to an end. So it won't happen overnight, but I think it's going to be falling from the top down. And some of these guys are stepping in. And my prayers, if there's any people in the military hearing this, to talk to your military friends there and anybody in the Coast Guard or National Guard or anything else that are involved in there, start talking to your leaders and talk to other people and say enough's enough. And if you can go over there, you know, I know it really pissed them off, but put your uniform on and go over there and stand in the line, you know, with all the other ones there and show that, you know, not all the military is going for this, and push your generals to step forward and stop this nonsense, because it needs to be. We need to put an end to this. And it's part of the end of this whole draconian empire that we've been dealing with for so long. I mean, this draconian grid, the Archon grid, whatever you want to call it, is falling. It's going down. This is the last stand right here of it. And, you know, hopefully we can get behind that. All of us can get behind that and just, you know, finally, once and for all, you know, put an end to this nightmare that we've called our leadership on the planet, bring in some benevolent leadership. I know Tashina's over here, has a few more things to say. I'm going to turn the mic over to her again and let her go ahead and close it out. I think we've just got a few more minutes.
Thank you so much, James. I wanted to add where you could go on predominantly Facebook. You're not going to find it Google or Yahoo to find out where to find supplies. If you go on Facebook, you go to Sacred Stone Camp, That's one of our camps. As I mentioned, we have six camps. And so go and Google on Facebook, Sacred Stone Camp, and they will give you somewhat of an update. And they have a supply list on there of what their current needs are at this time with the winterization coming, and also where to send things. You can also go to Red Warrior Camp. That's another one of the camps, and that's the main one camp. And they have an address and a current supply update list. And you'll also see Aseti Shikoyim and the other camps listed. And they are also in the process of the seven council fires getting up their own website. They were when I left. So you could check for that. But on Facebook, you want to look for Red Warrior Camp. You want to look for Sacred Stone Camp. And in terms of winter supplies at this time and how to get them there, they do have a mailing address. The freeways will be unblocked. They have to be, especially the current situation in winter. So you would be able to get supplies in. At this time, we need winter housing. We need military tents. We need yurts. We got some Mongolian yurts in. We need thermal underwear. We need snowshoes. We need snowmobiles, we need shovels, we need bales of hay to put up protective wind lines from the snowdrifts. These are practical things. We have a great deal of clothing that has been donated, piles and piles and piles, and they're very nice. What we need is Arctic clothing because the temperature goes to 40 below zero, the wind velocity approximately 45 miles an hour. So we do need that. We need also wood stoves. We need solar heaters. These are the very practical, almost immediate things that we have a need of. And the complete list would be current and up on those sites: Red Warrior Camp, Sacred Stone Camp, Aseti Shikoyim. And you can also potentially find it on Facebook under the Standing Rock Tribe. But understand that while they have a relationship with Standing Rock Camp, they are not the ones that are distributing the contributions. So it is important that contributions go to Standing Rock itself and to any one of these individual camps that I have mentioned. So I want to thank you this time, and God bless you, and deep heart gratitude to everyone.
All right, aho. And, you know, here at the Ranch at East City, we always, you know, we're creating a template here where people can live a very spiritual life in harmony with each other, nature, very close to the earth. And, you know, people come here and pick this up, and Tashina is gifting us with this beautiful galactic medicine wheel. Am I saying it right? It's a galactic medicine wheel. And I want to get it right here because this medicine wheel, when we did this medicine wheel, it was, the energy was so intense in this wheel, and we had all the star nations cooperating with this. And when there's along the wheel, there's these sections, you know, of the wheel, and they're like camps. And this is the Pleiadian camp, you know, this is the Andromedan camp, this is the Arcturian camp, this is the Sirian camp, the Orion Council light camp, you know, the inner earth camp. And all of us have these connections in past lives and things. Like, we've been part of these civilizations and things. And so when you meet your people and you go into that camp, that section on the wheel, I watch people just break down and start crying and just have these huge openings. And it's just been amazing watching this. And I'll look at somebody and I'll feel their energy, and I go, watch when this guy hits the Orion camp. You know? And all of a sudden the guy's in there and his knees buckle, you know, and he's on the ground, he's got tears streaming from him and things like that. And so that energy is there, and it's a signature that your soul recognizes, the energy signature, and it triggers that opening and that memory. You know, one of these past lives when you did live in a very advanced civilization, you know, that did operate under universal law, and you know, they're kind to each other and kind to the planet, and you know, they practiced, you know, universal peace and brother-sisterly love and individual freedom and prosperity for everyone. And the old indigenous cultures, a lot of them went by those laws. You know, they had their skirmishes and their moments, you know, between each other, but they worked it out. But, you know, that strong reverence for life and seeing the Creator in all creation, and those basic principles were throughout all the different nations. And we need to get back to that, back to basics. And I know in the Cherokee tradition, I always love that saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good, you know. And this pipeline fits right into that. It's not good for everyone. It's good for a small fraction of society. And the ramifications of this going in and then breaking, which they always do, is just, you know, we just can't even go there. We can't even allow that possibility to happen. And, you know, we've seen that. We've seen that in Alaska. We've seen that, you know, the Alaskan pipeline. We've seen the Valdez. We've seen the tankers crash and destroy whole oceans. Whole beaches and things like that. It's just been, we've seen what happens when this oil gets loose, and it always does. You know, they can't seem to contain it. And a lot of it's just because of the recklessness or the just not, you know, giving a crap about the environment. And these people are just in it for the money, and they don't care about anything else and anything in their way. And it's the same thing about the Middle East, you know. You know, how dare they live on top of our oil? You know, that's their attitude. You know, all these other countries over there, you know, we've been toppling countries and leaders and interfering in their sovereign rights and things like that. And it's all about the oil and the mindset on that oil, and that oil is ours, or these companies, and nobody's going to stand in their way to get it. Is something that we've been doing for quite some time, and the military has been the brute squad to make sure that we do get the oil, and we're just now starting to figure that out as a nation. So, you know, here we are again. Again, the military is being used as a brute squad, and we've got corrupt sheriffs, and we have corrupt governors, and everybody else involved in this, and it's not even the 1%. It's probably the 0.001%, you know, that are going to benefit from this thing at the expense of whole cities, you know, and whole states, you know. So anyway, we've got to do a heads up on this and really get going. So we're coming up to the end of the hour here. We just have a minute left, and I really want to honor Tashina here, and maybe she can close us out with a little prayer or a thank you, or in your own native tongue.
I would like to say thank you to all of the people of this planet. I think that's very important for the love and spirituality that you've developed. I'd like to say thank you to all the four directions, to the Tunkeshwas, the grandmothers, grandfathers of the west, of the north, of the east, of the south, and to Mother Earth and Father Sky, Creator. And to all the two-legged and the four-legged, and all those that fly, and all those that swim, and all those that creepy crawl and live deep down in the dark stillness of the earth. And we want to say thank you to all of these star nations, and we wish to say thank you to the water and to the mountains, to the earth, to the wind, to the thunder beings. And we wish to say thank you to all the horse nation, the buffalo nation, the eagle nation, the Elk Nation, the Bear Nation. And we wish to say thank you to all the healers that we have here at this time that have risen up to heal the earth through their love and their one heart, their united heart. And we ask you to stay in this heart, love energy. This is where we are all at one. And I am standing in great gratitude for what you have done here today. And on behalf of Red Warrior Camp, Aho, greetings, my relatives, on behalf of Standing Rock, on behalf of all the other camps, I express just such gratitude. Please keep praying. We feel your prayers. We feel your heart. Please don't stop. Your prayers are what keep us going. And we love you so very much. Aho, we talk to you.
All right. Thank you so much. We are being challenged in these days, you know, in the days to come. And it's very important to stay in the heart, find your inner lion, your inner courage, and stand in your own divinity and speak up when things need to be spoken. And also, too, again, whenever you find out this information, take the information we're putting out, share it with all your friends, anything about Standing Rock, what's going on, get it out there and let, you know, the world know about what's being done there and you know, put your support in there. Again, as Tashina said, through prayer and whatever, you know, help you can give to the camps, you know, to get through the winter. But anyway, we're getting into the hour, unfortunately. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening and get involved. Good night.